with our interviews post-race of the Southern 500, and we've now been joined by our race team owner, Joe Gibbs, and our race-winning crew chief, Mike Wheeler, also better known to the NASCAR garage as Wheels. So we'll just start tonight just talking a little bit about that race. Obviously an incredible battle there at the end. Denny taking the win, as he mentioned, was able to win here yesterday in the Xfinity race, which I know probably gave him a lot of momentum going into today, but... Coach, we'll start with you. Just talk a little bit about what it means to bring home another Southern 500 win, but then also just kind of how this sets you guys up for a great spot heading into the playoffs in just a few weeks.
Yeah, I think coming to Darlington, you can see it in everybody that races here. It's one of those places that has history. It's one of the hardest places we race to get a win. The crowd tonight I thought was great. And so it's a thrill for us coming here. I think Denny is, I think he's a great sports story. When J.D. first met him and put him in that very first test, part of the second race we put him in, J.D. said, let's put him at Darlington in an Xfinity car. And Denny had never seen the place, and he came over here and finished ninth. And J.D. said, I think we need to sign this guy. And I said, I think you're right. And kind of the rest is history, but I think it's a great story. Denny, I think you can tell when he goes to certain racetracks, too, he's got some favorites in there that he's awful good at, and I think this is one of them.
And, Wills, for you, just talk a little bit about, from your vantage point on the pit box, you know, kind of how the race played out and ultimately, you know, that last run there for Denny. He was catching Martin even before Martin essentially – you know, hit the wall there at the end. But talk a little bit about, you know, what that was like from your seat, and also just as we get closer to the playoffs, you know, how this team is gaining momentum and really prepping for those final 10 races.
The race played out very fortunate for us. We didn't really struggle too much. We ran top five all night. The guys did a really good job on pit row. We were doing well. I'm proud of, you know, the fact that we had good speed and Denny was able to run up front. I was getting a little nervous that the 78 looked a little faster. So we wanted to just kind of keep battling and try to get him at the end. Then it came down to strategy. Tried to make sure we made not the wrong call. So we were doing our numbers, and I seen everybody else pitting, and, you know, ultimately just made sure, try to give our driver the best chance to win, even though it might not work in our favor. I didn't think once he missed pit road we had a great chance anymore. I knew we gave up 10 seconds on the leaders. And, you know, ultimately, as much as I was trying to coach him to get mad and get even with everyone else, I knew it was hard to make up 10 seconds over one stint. But I'm proud of the fact that, you know, the car was that fast. Denny's obviously a wheel man here. If you don't win here with Denny, you probably didn't have a good enough car. So seeing him come from 10 seconds back in one stint, I was really happy of that effort, and I knew we probably had the fastest car.
All right. We'll go ahead and take questions for Coach or Wheels. If you have one, please raise your name, say your name and affiliation. We'll start up front with Kenny and then go back to Mike.
Kenny Bruce with NASCAR.com. Yeah, for Wheels, you touched on the pit road miscue there briefly. What exactly did you tell him?
You know, I don't even remember. I was mad. You know, it's one of those things I try to stay focused on what's going on, you know, what's forward and not what just happened. I saw we ran a 41-second lap, and I knew that's hard to overcome when we're trying to do math on 1 and 2 seconds of sequences and pit stop gains. But I noticed when we came out that the 41 and 78 were battling each other pretty hard and losing a half second a lap doing that. So I knew that as long as they were battling that hard and hurting their tires, they were going to be in trouble to make it the whole distance without, you know, falling off really hard. We got within 10 seconds, and I'm like, okay, we should be leading right now. But we still had about 35 to go, and I'm like, we got a long time to go. With about 20 to go, we were within like 5 seconds. We were starting to break even with the leaders. But once we got within 15, I realized, you know, as much as Denny was pushing it, Truex has fallen off even harder than he ever had all night. Seeing that, it was like just try to keep feeding Denny information and get him to get up on it. And, you know, went from a tenth or two a lap to 4/10 a lap. And I knew the math would work out that we could win by 2 seconds. I thought we gave it up with some lap car gotten away and Denny gave him a big punt. I was hoping they'd let us race it out. But fortunately, Truex had to push harder than he probably needed to and hurt his tires and ended up in the fence, and we drove by.
All right. We've now been joined by our race winner, driver of the number 11 Sports Clips Toyota, Denny Hamlin. And Denny, you were extremely excited after the race in your interviews on with NBC, but then also having the opportunity to run the throwback paint scheme, which you've also throughout the weekend kind of had the opportunity to tell how special that was for you. But just talk a little bit about the win tonight, what it does for you heading into the playoffs in a couple of weeks, but also just the opportunity to win in that special paint scheme this evening.
It was all really cool.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah. No, it was, you know, all of it was awesome. I mean, to win in the Flying 11 and to win the Xfinity race, win the Cup race, both in very exciting fashion, was a great feeling. And then, you know, to fight through the adversity of, you know, missing the pit road and coming back. And we had great strategy, fast car, and it, you know, it just all just worked out in the end. I was hoping it would. Otherwise, I, you know, would have looked pretty silly after the race trying to explain why we lost. But, you know, it just I think a lot of that came from Truex beating us on a green flag sequence earlier in the day. And so I pushed it a little bit more on pit entry. And I didn't want it to happen again. And I just pushed it a little bit too much. Kind of a rookie move, but also just trying to optimize everything. And it was just, you know, we got our car better as soon as it went turned in tonight. We kept getting the car better, kept making adjustments, and kept working on it. And we had something we could win with. And it's proud to win them in that fashion, especially as a total team effort. Pit crew did a great job all night getting us out in front two or three times. We had a great strategy. The car was great, and driver did okay at the end too.
All right. I thought you had a few more comments about that race win. So we'll go ahead and continue with our questions. If you have one for Coach Denny or Wills, continue to raise your hand, and I'll get as many as I can. We can get a microphone to Mike. Go ahead.
Mike Neff from frontstretch.com. This is for Wills. Obviously, strategy in these things is very fluid. At what point did it come clear to you that you needed to go for that double long stretch there at the end in order to have a shot at the win?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Definitely fluid. You know, it's difficult because you can't go on last year's notes and lap times to see where you should be. Truthfully, I noticed earlier in the race, I believe it was the end of segment two, where Denny and Truex were definitely the best long run cars. It was about 56 laps they were going on tires, and a couple guys were dropping the anchor. And Denny and Truex were running them down. And it was apparent that our tire wear was great. It looked better than the field. You heard comments about guys having cords and all that kind of stuff, and Denny managed his stuff well, and we worked the setup around it too. But Denny manages his stuff very well. I won't say anything else. So, you know, the last stint when we were running, you know, top two, or I think we were leading, I knew the moment the 78 short pitted us, we could not come back around and be ahead of them. That caught us off guard earlier. We were going to pit in like two or three laps. I followed suit early in the race, and we came up behind him because you lose 3 or 4 seconds of lap time here. So I knew our best option was not bite on the other guy's short pitting the thing, because they short pitted the stint by 10 or 15 laps. Some guys are doing two stops, and we were going to do one stop. But it was painful to do, and I'm glad it worked out in our favor. But I made sure we just, you know, stay diligent on our numbers and make sure Denny was in clean air. He was able to run good lap times on long tires or on long run. But I knew that mathematically it should work out if the cautions don't fall or fall in our favor. I thought we were in trouble when we lost 10 seconds there. But ultimately I knew the other guys were gonna have to save their tires to make the last 10 laps, and it worked out in our favor.
All right. Get a mic to Bob, please.
Bob Hockers, ESPN. Denny, you have the most wins of any active driver who hasn't won a title. So I'm curious what might be different this year that would allow you to win the title, and is it something that gnaws at you?
This year is really no different. I mean, we've been at this point before where we've, you know, had wins going into the playoffs. You know, luck has kept us from championships in the past, and mistakes have kept us from championships in the past. Not many times has it been performance. So I think you just got to put all those two things together and prepare for anything that can get thrown to you. And I know Coach is all about having a game plan, and that's something I've really worked hard on this year is studying notes and coming up with a game plan when I get to the racetrack of how I'm going to approach things. And I think that it's paying off, and hopefully it pays off, you know, 11, 12 races from now.
All right. A mic to Nate, please.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. I actually have one for Wheels, one for Denny. Wheels, I know you said you can't really go off of, like, last year's notes and everything like that. I'm on your left, sorry. But this was the first time since 2006 a 500-mile race here had ended with more than 100 laps of consecutive green. I mean, did you think there'd be a yellow? And if there was, how did you think that would affect things?
I think a lot of races go green now with the stages falling out the way they do and NASCAR letting things race out. It's great to see, you know, because it makes its own storylines. So as much as I thought someone might hit the fence, spin out, blow a tire, I knew we shouldn't try to call a race on that. Ultimately, you try to make sure that you position yourself to go the distance the best you can. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't go your way, you know, but I wasn't going to take it away from us. I knew we had a good enough car and obviously a great enough driver, but I wanted to make sure we gave him a full opportunity to make the best long-run car and driver and get there at the end. So, you know, you just can't use last year's data before the race. You know, someone said it's very fluid. It is, and we were calculating data live on the pit box, and I got two young engineers that we've been together for three races now. So I'm really proud of that effort because they weren't wrong. You know, we were right. With that big hiccup, it would have not shown up. But to come that far back as quickly as you did, it was pretty impressive.
Can I get you to follow on that, Denny? Do you feel like NASCAR is more inclined to let races play out naturally?
Yeah, as they should, and I mean, look what happened. I mean, you had a car run down the leader from a long way back and pass them, essentially with coming to, you know, two to go. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it puts the strategy back in the crew chiefs, the driver's hands. You know, it's back. You know, we are a throwback weekend. This is a throwback to saving tires and, you know, a long grueling race, and I like it ending on a sequence like that.
And one more for you. Martin Truex Jr. clinched the regular season title, so he's going to start the playoffs with at least 52 points every round. Wait, what kind of advantage do you think that's going to give him to get to Miami?
It's a big advantage, but it's well-earned. I mean, anytime anyone can dominate the regular season essentially like he has, he deserves to have a mulligan in each round. So I applaud them and hope we keep it the same going forward. I hope that if we perform that well next year and have that big of a lead, it's well earned, and the, you know, competitors respect that. And I think that everyone in the garage will say that it's well earned and deserved.
All right, we're going to go to the press box. Any questions in the press box?
Denny, this is Thomas Pope from the Fayetteville Observer. You've got 7 wins here now between Cup and Xfinity. How does a driver ever get comfortable at a track where you wouldn't think you could ever get comfortable enough to win the way that you have?
You know, it's something about the racetrack that kind of suits my driving style. I mean, you know, from the very first time I came here at a test, Tony Stewart was here and kind of really helped me kind of find my way around this racetrack. But I don't know. I don't know what it is about it, but it just suits the way I drive. You know, to be able to run a little bit an orthodox line, I think, helps me at this racetrack. And I think, you know, really just every time I come back, I learn a little bit more from what I did in the past. And it just, you know, you refine the way you do things and you get a little bit better, and it's led to success.
Any additional questions in the press box?
No more questions.
All right, we'll come back downstairs. So, Jacob, please, if you can get a mic, please.
Jacob Seelman, Performance Motorsports Network. One for Wheels and then one for you, Denny. Wheels, Truex was in, or actually I think it was Kyle Busch who was in here earlier and talking about how you and Stevens basically had the strategy nailed with being able to call the later pit stop the way you did. But knowing how much the tire wear has grown here, especially the last couple of years. Is that ever something that you go into a race thinking that at the end of it, you can, you're trying to plan to be on the freshest tires?
Yeah, you come into the race realizing you need to do the analysis during the race. Fortunately, the cup races are long enough where you can get some actual data for the first half of the race and realize what you're trying to do between tire wear and lap times and all that kind of stuff. The Xfinity race, you're kind of guessing more. But having been in a race yesterday, I went down to Eric Phillips and those guys and kind of see what they were doing. You know, be on the same tire, a little different car, but you can kind of grasp that. You know, Adam and I, we hung out together. We grew up together in racing here, so we've been around each other for a long time. And I think we kind of see the same type of things and what we want to do with lap times. And ultimately, we kind of lost Pocono by not doing this. The 18 did the opposite, and it was apparent afterwards that we needed to make sure we do the right thing for us, not just react to the field. And it was painful, I'm not going to lie. I was sitting there when everybody else was pitting lap 300 to 310. I was like, man, I hope this works out for us. It should. But he ran some good lap times on old tires, and it was the difference.
And Wheels talks about it, Denny. You running the best lap times of your race in that last stint, coming immediately after missing pit road there right before you and Kyle came down. I know anytime you make a mistake in a race car, it's going to push you to race that little bit extra harder, but how big of a motivator sitting there, realizing that Kyle's just got around you and that could be the race, how big of a motivator was that on that last stint?
It was a big motivator, but I think they did a good job of reminding me to set up my passes and not just, there's different ways to get around this racetrack, and running faster is not always the fastest way. So it's really weird, but you got to just know when to pass, know when to let off, and position yourself for a pass. And I think I optimized, the traffic that I was in when I had fresher tires.
It's a rhythm track, right?
Yeah, it's a big rhythm track, so you don't want to catch people at a bad time. It's very similar to road course racing in that sense, that you don't want to catch people in the wrong corners or else it costs a lot of lap time.
All right. Additional questions? Additional questions in the press box. All right. Congratulations, guys.